Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya wal mursaleen wa ba'd. Welcome to one and all for another session of the message of the Quran. Today we'll be covering the 26th juz of the Quran. As we approach the conclusion, we are slowly, as we are approaching the end of the Quran, we are now doing the final chapters and surahs of the Quran. Before we begin, just a quick note from our sponsors. The series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance program. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the hashtag Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. Inshallah, today we'll be doing the 26th juz of the Quran, which comprises a number of surahs that were revealed in Mecca. As such, the theme that will be noticed throughout will be that which was common in Mecca: the afterlife, the prophets of the past, tawheed, prophethood, and the like. We begin with Suratul Ahqaf, which translates as the sand dunes. And Suratul Ahqaf begins with mention of the revelation and how it is a source of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse that is most striking is in the beginning is verse 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructed to tell his people that the message that I come to you with is not something unique to me. It's not an innovation. It's not something unprecedented. I come to you with the same message that was brought by the other prophets alaihi wassalatu wa taslim. And this is a very important point to bear in mind, that prophethood is a family. Prophethood is a relationship where all of the Anbiya, they share this one message. The finer details may differ, but the broad overall components of the message is the same. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling his people, مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ. Don't think for a moment that I'm telling you something new. If you want validation, if you want support for my message, simply look at the scriptures of the past and you will see that the message that I am calling everyone to is the same message of Isa alayhi salam, of Dawood alayhi salam, of Musa alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about Musa alayhi salam and then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ In verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that those who say, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ Allah is our Rabb. Allah is our caretaker. Allah is the one who gives me my existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives me my sustenance. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا After making this confession and after acknowledging this, they are steadfast. They hold firmly to this message. They hold firmly to this declaration. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ On the day of judgment, there will be no fear for them, nor will there be any grief. The concept of perseverance, istiqama, the concept of maintaining steadfastness is essential to a person's faith. Simply doing good deeds may be a step in the right direction, but is not sufficient for a person's salvation. Because simply doing good deeds, doing it once and then letting it go, or doing it twice and then having it erased on account of our sins is unfortunately, maybe in our disadvantage. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to qualify for bliss in the afterlife, the formula, the recipe is very straightforward. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ Those who say Allah is our Rabb, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا And then they are steadfast. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ They have no khawf, nor are they, do they have any grief. So when a person is going to be, when a person is on the throes of death, Allah mentions in another verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ The angels will descend upon this individual and tell that person, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا Don't fear and have no grief. What does fear and grief mean in this context? Fear for a person who's going to pass away is what will happen next? How will the angels question me? How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take my reckoning? So they're saying, فَلَا أَلَّا تَخَافُوا Have no fear for what is coming your way. However, somebody may not have fear for what's going to happen, but they may have some grief for what they're leaving, right? A person lived a very healthy lifestyle, had a good relationship with their family, and they have this stress or this emotional breakdown that, you know, when I'm going to leave this world, what about my family? I'm going to be away from my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to remind this individual, listen, no need to have grief over them. Allah will take care of them. Allah will protect them. And you have nothing to worry about in the afterlife either. So inshallah, it will be a win-win situation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 14, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ They are أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ They are the people of the paradise of the garden. خالدين فيها They will live there for eternity. جزاء بما كانوا يعملون And this eternal life that they will live in the paradise will be on account of the deeds that they have done. جزاء بما كانوا يعملون In the following verse, verse 15, Allah reminds us of the duty that we have to our parents, the responsibility that we have towards our parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا We have given advice, we have encouraged al-insan, humankind, بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا To be just, to be kind, to be hospitable, considerate with one's parents. Why? For a number of reasons, but particularly حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا Our mothers bore us in with difficulty and hardship and pain, And then they nursed us, and then they weaned us, and until we've grown old. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the dua that we should make for them is, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tardah wa aslih li fi dhurriyyati. That, oh Allah, allow me to be grateful for the blessings that you have given me, the blessings you have given my parents, and give me the ability to do deeds that are righteous. Do deeds that are righteous. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. And as I am being, as I am remembering my parents and making dua for them, also give me offspring and progeny who remember me, who think about me, and who constantly make dua for me. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, I turn to you, and I am from among the Muslims. So, this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is very important. And the reason that it is very important is we always ask ourselves, how can I, you know, what dua should I make for my parents, right? One is I make the dua of رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. But this is another dua that I can recite in respect to my parents. That, oh Allah, allow me to be grateful for the blessings you have given me and to my parents. And allow me to do deeds that are righteous and that earn your pleasure. This is a beautiful description. An a'mala salihan tardah. That, oh Allah, allow me to do those righteous acts that earn your pleasure. Not everything that we do will automatically earn us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. It's possible I'll do something, but I'm doing it for someone else. Or I'll do something, but I do it incorrectly, due to which I will not be rewarded. So that's just a short passage that we should consider in terms of the du'as that we recite and how we should be mindful of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In the ending of Surah Al-Ahqaf, in verse 35, the ending of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرْ. Be patient, just like the أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, the high-ranking anbiya were patient. You know, subhanAllah, the command to be patient that was addressed to the Prophet ﷺ wasn't simply lumped onto him. It was said to him alongside the other anbiya who also made sacrifices. And this idea of brotherhood really is emphasized throughout the Quran, so that the Prophet ﷺ can get a boost in his morale, so that he can feel motivated to do deeds that are good. He can feel motivated to, carry on the message without feeling as though there's no one there to support him or that it's unprecedented. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forsake the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But you do your best. But in the ending, you just say balagh. You do your best and you let them know, this is a message that I am conveying onto you. If you accept this message, it will be for in your best interest. If you do not accept this message, then I have conveyed it. I am not responsible for what happens thereafter. With that, we conclude Surah Al-Ahqaf. And then we begin Surah Muhammad. Surah Muhammad gets the name of the Prophet ﷺ because of the last verse where the Prophet ﷺ and the Anbiya the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum are described. Surah Muhammad begins with الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah talks about the people who believe and the people who do not believe. And how do you describe those who do not believe? They block the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have made their deeds go askew. They made their deeds go off. On the other hand, you have those who have faith, those who do good and righteous deeds, they are on the right path and they will be rewarded and compensated for everything that they have done and everything that they will do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further talks about the Jannah that is promised for those who do good deeds in this life. Allah says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah gives an analogy, Allah gives an explanation for the garden, for paradise, that is promised for those who adopt taqwa in their lives. فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ لَبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all the pleasures of this world, you'll have them in the afterlife, but they're completely different. You can't compare the two. Allah says, you'll have water, but the water will never lose its taste. You'll have milk, but the milk will never go off. You'll have khamar, you'll have wine and alcohol, but it will be, the taste will be sweet and it will not make you drunk. And you will have clear and clean rivers of honey. Again, the idea here is Allah is giving us just a taste of what is waiting for us in Jannah. In the end of the day, we can only get an approximation. We can only get a basic understanding of what awaits us, but we cannot do do justice to the description of Jannah. But we get a basic understanding of that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 44, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. There are people who are asking for guidance. There are people who are on the path. But Allah says, why don't they contemplate over the message of the Qur'an? Is it that their hearts are locked? Is it that their hearts are deprived? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. That do they not contemplate over the Qur'an, or is there a lock? Are there locks on their hearts? And this is a dua we need to make. اللَّهُمَّ افْتَحْ أَقْفَالَ قُلُوبِنَا بِالْقُرْآنِ. O Allah, the locks on my heart, open them, unlock them through the Qur'an. Unlock the chains and the impediments on my heart. Because imagine a cup that's upside down and you have a tap that's open. No matter how much water comes from that tap, that cup will not be filled because the cup is upside down. Our hearts are the same. When wahi, when revelation, when the Quran is being recited, our hearts will either receive it or reject it based on the direction of our hearts. And we ask Allah to open it so that we're able to comprehend the message, we're able to accept the message, and we're able to internalize the message as well. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In the ending of Surah Muhammad, the description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba actually comes in Surah Al-Fath. Surah Muhammad over here, it concludes with an exhortation, a call, encouragement to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And Allah says, those who are miserly, فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. There are those who are miserly, there are those who are stingy, but the Prophet sallallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anybody who is stingy, they're stingy to their own detriment. To their own detriment. Because Allah is ultimately ghani, and we are ultimately in need. Anything that we give will eventually come back to us, and anything we withhold will deprive us. And Allah says, look, you're not the center of the universe. If you decide not to give, you decide not to practice on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will bring a people who will. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah will bring a people who will do this, and you will become nothing. You know, oftentimes we overestimate our own worth, not realizing we're here today, tomorrow we're going to go, we may not even be remembered by posterity. posterity. So that's why it's important to be humble and remember that the fame, the recognition, the wealth I have today can only take me so far. What is most important is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes me. Then we begin Surah Al-Fath. Allah tells us of the great conquest, the great victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have granted you a manifest victory. So that it is a source of forgiveness for what has passed and what will come. When we think about the different battles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger fought with the Sahaba, you would think that, oh, they're outnumbered. They don't have the strength. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The armies of the heavens and the armies of the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will aid those whomsoever He wills with His army. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about a bay'ah that happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is pleased with the believers when they took an allegiance, they took a pledge of allegiance from you underneath the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And they came to know of, Allah knows what is in their hearts. And as a result, Allah revealed unto them sakina. Allah revealed unto them tranquility, and He gave them an open victory. Right in the ending of Surah Al-Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Prophet sallam, but He also describes the Sahaba. Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u 'alal kuffar ruhama'u bainahum tarahum ruk'an sujjadan yabtaghuna fadlan min Allah wa ridwana. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. But Allah goes on to talk about the Sahaba. Love for the Sahaba, emulation of the Sahaba is part of our identity. That they are strong, they are soft with the believers, and they are strong against the enemies. They prostrate and they humble themselves, and they seek only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who believe and those who do good and righteous actions, مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has promised forgiveness and Allah has promised great reward. Then we begin Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah that was revealed in Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, He gives a number of important advices on how we should function as a society. For instance, in verse number 6, Allah says, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That, O you who believe, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ. That if a fasiq, if a transgressor comes to you بِنَبَأٍ with news, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, be certain that the information that's coming is accurate. This is a universal practice that we should have in our lives, that just because somebody tells me something, I shouldn't just automatically assume it is true and I should think ill of someone else or start practicing on it, especially when the one who's bearing the news is unreliable. So that's one advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Another advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is He says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Do not jest and laugh and ridicule one another. You don't know. You're making fun of someone. You're laughing at someone, not realizing that that person is much better than you. That person is greater than you. And then Allah says, avoid negative assumptions of one another, because that is incorrect. Do not spy on one another. Do not backbite one another. Right? So one by one, Allah is giving us such beautiful advices on how we should interact with one another and develop the ideal Muslim society. And then Allah tells us, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. O mankind, we created you as man and woman. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. and we've made you into tribes and different villages and tribes so that you can recognize one another. Don't think that your skin tone or your language or your ethnicity or your background somehow determines your standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the most noble among you is the one who has the most consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we begin with Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf predominantly discusses the afterlife. And Allah talks about the people of Jannah. Allah talks about the people of Jahannam. In one particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about Jahannam. In verse 30, Allah says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلِ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. Allah protect us. When Allah will say to Jahannam, are you full? And then the fire will say, هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, is there more? Is there more? Meaning that those who will be punished, there's no such thing as a cap off. It's limitless. But subhanAllah, Allah doesn't only talk about the difficulties and the hardships and the challenges and the punishment. Right after that, Allah also talks about those who will be granted paradise. مَنْ خَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ. Those who have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will tell them, أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ. Enter Jannah بِسَلَامٍ. Enter Jannah with peace. Enter Jannah with a clear conscience. InshaAllah, you're going to be there. Allah said, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ. You'll be there forever. And then finally, we have Surah Al-Dhariyat. Surah Al-Dhariyat talks about a number of things, but over here in particular, Allah alludes to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam in verse 24. Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Have you heard of the story of Ibrahim and the guests who came to him to give him glad tidings and to give him news? Right in the ending, Allah says, قَالُوا كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is the most wise, Allah is the most knowledgeable. In summary, the 26th juz of the Qur'an contains many advices, but the most salient, the most important, the most eye-catching is when Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat gives us advices one after the other. Allah talks about harboring bad assumptions, taking news for granted, backbiting, spying, gossiping, and these should all be avoided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with the message of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the Quran and practice on it. And may He make us among those who during this blessed month of Ramadan witness the night of power and are able to reap the greatest amount of rewards. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.